The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with a little bit of humor. How about some life in these United States, which we didn't get to do last week? My Fitbit had stopped working, which meant I wouldn't get as credit for all the steps I took during my upcoming Zumba class. Luckily, my husband came to my rescue. Handing me this Fitbit, he said, "Here, take mine. I need the exercise." "No, you eat it. No, you eat it." My husband wants to make cauliflower crust pizza, so now I have to run to the grocery store and find a new husband. Apparently, I pack an apple in my 5-year-old's lunch so I can get out of the house for a few hours. As a child, I truly did not understand how good I had it not having to decide whether to eat for dinner, what to eat for dinner every single night. Me, I don't get why our kids are such picky eaters. It's just food. Eat it. Wife, have a salad. Me, I'd rather die. Almost left the grocery store without buying a bag of spring mix to throw unopened into the garbage in 2 weeks, and that's hilarious because I just did that today. Hate it when it happens. Feel happy when you're not. As simple as it sounds, plastering a smile can be the first step towards cheering yourself up. And there's a picture of Norman Rockwell with a whole bunch of smiley faces all over, which is probably making him a spin in his grave. Norman Rockwell created some of the most iconic images of the 20th century America. His painting, such as The Four Freedoms, served from World War II, appropriate for July 4th. The Problem We All Live With, from the Civil Rights Movement, were intended to evoke the best in people who saw them. Hope, solidarity, courage, justice. But much of his work has also inspired happiness, capturing scenes of lighthearted joy. Consider Shiner, which depicts a young girl with a black eye sitting outside the principal's office with a grin that tells you she has just been the victor in a combat. I have seen these paintings my whole life, starting with my grandfather's beloved dog-eared coffee table book of Rockwell's greatest works. A printing press operator in Longview, Washington, my grandfather was no art connoisseur, but he gave this assessment of Rockwell. "Those pictures make me feel happy." And yet Rockwell himself struggled with happiness. In 1953, he moved to Stockbridge, Massachusetts, a bucolic town in the Berkshires, not for its natural beauty and peace, because it happened to be the home of a psychiatric hospital where he and his wife could receive treatment for chronic depression. There, he was a patient of the world-famous psychoanalyst Eric Erickson, with whom Rockwell racked up a therapy bill so large they had to accept commissions for Kellogg's Cornflake magazine ads. That a man with such significant happiness problems would be known for painting images of undeniable happiness might seem somewhat ironic. In truth, it's not strange at all. Research shows not only that you can bring joy to others even when you're unhappy, but also that doing so is a reliable way to improve your own well-being, too. The key is to act like a happy person would, even if you don't feel like it. Last year, researchers at the University of California at Riverside asked people to behave in either extroverted or introverted ways for 1 week. Those who purposely acted extroverted, which decades of research have shown is one of the most common characteristics of happy people, saw a significant increase in well-being. Meanwhile, acting introverted led to a decrease. Similar, spending money on others and volunteering have been shown to raise one's own happiness level. One plausible explanation is that pro-social behaviors induce a cognitive dissonance. I feel unhappy, but I am acting happy, which people resolve subconsciously by feeling happier. Richard Wiseman, a psychologist at the University of Hertfordshire in the United Kingdom, calls this the as-if principle. If you want to feel a certain way, act as if you already do, and your brain will get you that feeling, at least for a little while. In common parlance, fake it till you make it. I'm not suggesting that fake it till you make it is a substitute for traditional medical treatment for depression, of course. Rockwell was in formal therapy most of his adult life, but his happy paintings were clearly part of his treatment. As Rockwell's biographer, Deborah Solomon, points out, he was painting his longing. Not even if not literally, you can use the Rockwell formula to bring joy to yourself and the people around you when you are down. First, ask what happy people in your situation would do to make things better for themselves and others. How would they greet others in the first call of the day? How would they write an email? Whom would they call just to check in? If you're stuck, interview happy people you know about the little things they do for their acquaintances and loved ones. Next, make a plan to follow through on everything you just imagined. Write 3 ideas for extra kind greetings on a post-it note and stick it below your computer screen before that Zoom or phone call. Draft a sample email in the voice of a happy person and use it as a template. By deliberately preparing yourself to cheer up the people around you the way a happy person spontaneously would, you'll create the conditions by which you can produce your own happiness naturally and give the gift of happiness to others as well. Your true story, said 100 words. Home away from home. My wife and I were on vacation at Yellowstone. During a boat tour, one of the boat workers asked everyone where they were from. The couple directly behind us said that they were from New Jersey. I'm originally from there, so I turned around and recognized my best friend from high school. I joined the service soon after graduating 40 years ago, and we had lost touch, but we stayed in contact ever since we connected that day. A match made in cartoon heaven. Over lunch at Olive Garden, my husband and I decided to get a kitten and name her Olive in honor of where we were. Olive is now 2 years old. Last summer, she spotted our new neighbor's cat in our backyard. Olive is smitten with him, and he with her. They sit together for hours. When she doesn't see him, Olive paces the house and continues to look for him, even in the dark. His name? Popeye. True love is Popeye and Olive, and then oil in parentheses. The need for speed. As a teenager, my grandfather dreamed of having a horse. His father didn't understand why, but he reluctantly agreed to let my grandfather work in order to earn enough money to buy one. I have a cassette tape of my grandfather talking about his boyhood longing for a horse. The need to mount a steed and ride against the wind at full speed. To digitize this recorder, I enlisted the help of my 16-year-old son. When we finished, my son asked, "Now, do you understand why I want a car?" Now we get to do 13 things. Nitty-gritty details on sand. And there's a picture of what looks like a beach with a pretend sand castle being started to be constructed with a bucket and a couple of toy shovels. You might think sand is beige and boring, but sand comes in every color. The black sand in Hawaii and Santorini has volcanic minerals mixed into it. Bermuda's pink beaches get their color from the red and pink shells of tiny marine creatures. Even rarer is green sand, whose colors come from mineral olivine. Only a handful of beaches have enough to appear distinctly green. And on Rainbow Beach in Australia, the sand appears in more than 70 colors. Number 2. Sand can taste good. We think of it as a blanket covering a beach, but technically sand is any material made up of grains measuring 6/100 of a millimeter to 2 millimeters in diameter. That definition, salt and sugar qualify. Number 3. The stuff on the shores can come from a variety of sources, including the poop of parrotfish, which eat algae and dead coral and excrete hundreds of pounds of sand a year. Sound gross? Perhaps. But the sand that comes out of a parrotfish is what you'll find on some of Hawaii's most beautiful white sand beaches. Number 4. Still, most sand comes from granulated rocks that streams carry to the sea, some 3 billion tons of it each year. Yet we use 50 billion tons of sand around the world annually to make paper, paint, and the silicone chips that power computers. It's also in construction materials such as concrete, brick, and glass. Number 5. Depending on what's in it, sand must be heated to more than 2,500 degrees Fahrenheit to become glass. The oldest and fastest glass maker is lightning. When a bolt strikes dry sand, it instantly melts and fuses the sand into hollow branching glass tubes. Number 6. Not all sand is suitable for building. Desert sand is too smooth for the grains to lock together. Saudi Arabia, with all of its desert, has to import sand in order to build its cities. With much of the world urbanizing, the demand for sand has skyrocketed. Sand extraction is a billion-dollar industry worldwide. Number 7. People steal sand. There's even a sand mafia in India. It's illegal to take sand from any beach in Hawaii, although many tourists still do. Swiping sand from the Italian island of Sardinia could land you in jail. There was a recent article about somebody that happened to. When you lie on the beach, number 8, when you lie on the beach, you're lounging on someone's living room. Most of the creatures who call sand home are microscopic. There are as many as a million of them in just a square meter of sand, although together they weigh less than a tenth of an ounce. On the other hand of the spectrum, larger animals such as sea turtles lay their eggs in sand. Not all of them hatch. And those that don't hatch provide nutrients for the plant life that grows in the dunes. Number 9. Some of our country's notable sand dunes are in states with little or no coastline. Indiana has only 45 miles of shoreline, but the Indiana Dunes National State Parks welcome about as many visitors a year as Yellowstone. At more than 700 feet high, the Great Sand Dunes in Colorado are the nation's tallest. Bring a board and you can surf them. Number 10. But be careful. Sand on a dune in the desert or on the beach can shift quickly. Sandbars are especially dangerous. They can be submerged in a matter of minutes, and rip times often form in breaks in the bar. Quicksand is not nearly as deadly as movies as you might believe. If you do find yourself stuck, lean back to distribute your weight over a larger area and swim out. 11. The world's tallest sand castle was built in 2019 at the annual Sand Sculpting Festival held in Blintz, Germany, a city on the island of Rügen in the Baltic Sea. It took a team of 20 almost a month to construct it. The highest peak was nearly 58 feet high. Number 12. German writer E.T.A. Hoffmann's 1816 short story, Das Sandmann, popularized the myth about the creature who sprinkles sand in our eyes while we sleep. One version of this folktale is that the sand induces sweet dreams, hence the lyrics of the Cordette song, Mr. Sandman, Bring Me a Dream, Boom, Boom, Boom. Number 13. Carl Sagan said there are more stars in the universe than grains of sand on the world's beaches. Of course, neither can be literally counted, but researchers at the University of Hawaii estimated the number of grains of sand on Earth. Their answer? 7.5 quintillion. That's 75 followed by 17 zeros. Always a dull moment. Are you worried about raising your blood pressure? Is gray your favorite color? Then the Dull Men's Club calendar will look great on your blank wall. Each month features an N.I. Beefcake pinup, fully dressed, pallid, and chosen for his uniquely uninteresting pastime. One man photographs telephone poles. Another collects envelopes. Two brothers created a museum filled with their cuckoo clocks, more than 300 of them. In the past, the calendar included only British men, because Prince Charles. But this year features several Yanks and even a few women. One of them is California student Elena Camas, who takes pictures of different slippery when wet signs that cleaning crews set on newly mopped floors. The variety is endless. If you want to see them for yourself, the calendar sells for $12 on Amazon. Enjoy. But don't enjoy it too much. All in a day's work. There's two guys in a life raft surrounded by sharks, and one says to the other, "If only I'd thought to take my phone with me, I could be getting some work done." And this is all in a day's work. Two co-workers of mine at the post office, a supervisor and a letter carrier, were always at each other's throats. Recently, they were at it again, this time in a real barn burner of an argument. Walked in just in time to hear the supervisor deliver a devastating insult, or so he thought. "I've taught you everything I know, and still you don't know anything." It was 1930 Chicago, the height of the Depression. My grandparents owned a small grocery store, and one of their regulars was a charming man who seemed to be the center of attention wherever he went. Though she didn't know his name, my grandmother admired how he embraced everyone in his family. He'd send food baskets to the poor, pay others rent, and help people with their troubles. Grandma was so struck by his innate decency that she admonished my grandfather to be more like him. She knew that one day this kind stranger would be recognized by the world for his deeds, and was right. One morning, Grandma picked up the newspaper. There on the front page was the picture of her hero. His name? Al Capone. A sign spotted outside a carpet flooring store. If it's in stock, we got it. I'm not sure what that's supposed to tell. I get it now. What would be your main strength? Well, I could communicate with animals. Wow, impressive. Any weaknesses? They can't understand me. After taking my time at the shoe store, I finally found a pair of flats that were both comfortable and stylish. Of course, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and when I bought them up to the register, the cashier gave them a zero-star review. They make the ugliest shoes these days, don't they? Oh, no. You could call me Mr. Plow. Minnesota's Department of Traffic asked residents to pick names for its 8 new snowplows, then let residents pick their favorites, and the winner was Plowing McPlowface. Does that odd moniker leave you cold? Maybe you warm up to these nominees, although none of them made the cut. C3P Snow, Edward Blizzard Hands, Flake Superior, For Your Ice Only, Lake Snowby, Mary Tyler Moore Snow. Excuse me on that. It's interesting. Scotland actually has a whole series of snowplows with names. If you go online and pull up Scottish snowplows, I think it'll show a list of them. Some of them are really hilarious. A World of Good, Hunger in America, Growing Hope in an Urban Garden. The Browns Mill Park neighborhood of Atlanta is what's known as a food desert. The nearest grocery store is a 30-minute bus ride away, and many of the community's 2,700 residents need public transportation to get there. But about 5 years ago, a seed was planted in Browns Mill that has grown quite literally into something beautiful. The Conservation Fund, an environmental nonprofit, teamed up with the City of Atlanta and the U.S. Forest Service to transform a local seven-acre pecan farm into a community food forest. Thousands of volunteers cleared the space underneath the trees, planted the crops, and harvested them for visitors to stock their refrigerators. Today, Browns Mill residents can pick, or just pick up, hundreds of varieties of fruits, vegetables, nuts, and herbs at no cost. Atlanta's urban food forest is now the largest of about 70 community food forests in the country. The urban food forest is more than just free food, says Celeste Lomax, food forest manager and herbalist. It's about healing. And there's a picture of it. Looks delicious. The culture. The children will teach them. Not long ago, Wikipedia entry for Paris contained more information than the entries for the entire continent of Africa. Surprised? The organizers of the Moleskine Foundation, a nonprofit that funds worldwide education initiatives, certainly were. They're even more shocked to discover that most of the Africa-related entries were written by Westerners. So the Moleskine folks decided to turn that geographic disconnect into a teachable moment. The foundation's Wiki Africa education program solicits help from teachers and students across Africa. Today, the wiki contains more than 40,000 pieces contributed by students, many written in their native African languages. Good sports. Soccer to the rescue. Soccer teams are all about goals, but Italy's AS Roma club went after a big one, helping find lost children. Professional soccer teams in Italy will often introduce new players via Twitter, usually with a funny one-liner that soccer-crazed fans have come to love. Roma decided to leverage its sizable Twitter following by pairing the announcement of each new player with a photo of a missing child, much like the bygone U.S. milk carton program. In the past year, Roma's lost child have helped return 7 children to their families. Other teams, including AC Milan, have followed Roma's lead, and there's a sign of it. Leonardo Spinoza is now a Roma player. This summer, ASS Roma will use each transfer announcement video on social media to help awareness about the missing children. And there's a picture of Tammy Flores, 15, last seen in Victorville, Georgia. And there's a picture, too, of the young of the African where they're wicking. There's a young black man and it looks like his teacher teaching him to do it. Everyday miracles. A Holocaust survivor finally gets her diploma, and it shows an elderly lady holding a piece of paper that obviously is a diploma. In 1939, Miriam Schreiber could have started first grade. Instead, she spent that year and the following 5 trying to survive. She was living in Poland when World War II broke out. My entire life was disrupted within minutes, she said. I was looking forward to starting school. She never made it. It has been a profound regret of mine all my life, says Miriam. Decades later, though, the now 89-year-old Holocaust survivor finally got something she had always longed for, a high school diploma. From the first time I met Miriam, she told me how disappointed she was to have never had a formal education, says Aria Kapiloff, a social worker at the Jewish Family Services in West Hartford, Connecticut, where Miriam now lives. Not having a degree has always been a thorn in her side. Kapiloff and Miriam Brander, Director of Operations and Community Programs at Jewish Family Services, reached out to the New England Jewish Academy, a Jewish high school in West Hartford, to ask whether the school would consider presenting Miriam with an honorary diploma at its 2020 graduation ceremony. Richard Nabel, the principal of the school, passed the query on to the students. It was for the graduating class to decide, as they would be sharing their graduation with her. He brought a few seniors to Miriam's home in October 2019 to hear her story. She told them everything, starting at the very beginning. Miriam was born in a village just outside of Warsaw in 1932. Life was good, she says. Then the war started. Miriam and her family spent months hiding from the Nazis, starting when she was 7. They ran from village to village and forest to forest in a perpetual state of panic. We were on the run all the time and didn't know where to turn, says Miriam. We were always cold and hungry. It was horrible. It was chaos. Soon after the war started, the family was transported to a slave labor camp in Siberia, where they spent nearly 6 years living in squalor and barely living at all. It's hard to describe the suffering, says Miriam, who watched his family members froze and starve to death. My grandfather was lying next to me dead for 3 days, she remembers, her voice trembling as she relives the horror in her mind. We eventually buried him under the snow. Marion was not liberated until March 1946, near a year after the war ended when she was 14 years old. She and her remaining family members went to displaced persons camp in Germany, where they faced continued discrimination and anti-Semitism. There Marion met her husband, Saul Schreiber, also a displaced survivor at the camp. The couple married in Germany when Marion was 15, and they had their first child a year later. We needed to rebuild our lives in whatever way we could, says Marion, adding that having a child gave them hope for a brighter future. The couple left Germany in 1948 and lived in Israel, then Sweden, and then in another displaced persons camp in Germany before finally immigrating to America in 1960. Saul worked in a chicken market, and I went to work in a bakery, making 99 cents an hour, says Miriam. Getting a formal education was never an option for her. She and Saul focused on sending their two sons to school, thus giving their kids opportunities they never had. We became as successful because of my parents, says Bernie Schreiber, 73, who was a teacher for 32 years. Mother Bob was able to buy and build his own business successfully. I credit my parents, but especially my mother, for her dogged determination. Over the years, Miriam learned 7 languages. Her parents taught her Polish and Yiddish, but she taught herself Russian, English, German, Hebrew, and Swedish. I educated myself, she says. I read books day and night. I still do. I am in awe of her, says Bernie. So were the high school seniors who heard Miriam's story. We had a class meeting and discussed how to honor her, said Shoshana Olkin, 19, one of the students who went to Miriam's home. The class instantly said yes. Let's give her an honorary diploma, says Principal Dable. The idea was to present Miriam with a diploma at the school's graduation ceremony, but when COVID-19 hit, the service became virtual, and the honorary diploma was put on pause. But we still really wanted to do this for her, says Brandair. We talked to her family to come up with a way that was COVID-friendly. On August 16th, during a socially distanced ceremony in the school gym, Miriam Schreiber was presented with a high school diploma for the New England Jewish Academy. Wearing her cap and gown, she walked to the podium with pomp and circumstances, playing as her family and members of the Jewish community watched with pride. When I finally got the diploma, I kissed it, she said. I just couldn't believe it was mine. There weren't too many dry hours among the 30 of us there, says Dable. Miriam's family was especially moved. I'm not sure she even realized the importance of that moment to me, says Bernie. I'm so proud of her. This recipe really adds up. The sum of cabbage is directly proportioned to the square root of the carrot divided by the mayo. That's Cole's Law. Well, with that, we're going to switch over to the Consumer Reports a little early. And I'll explain again. This happens twice a year, unfortunately. Reader's Digest only sends out 10 issues a year. And one is July and August, and the other is, I believe, is January and February. And the problem is that they don't make the issues any bigger. Therefore, we run out of material quicker. So rather than run us completely out before the end of the month, I figured I'd go ahead and switch us over a little sooner. Not too much early, only 5 minutes. And let's finish up what we didn't do last week, which was recalls. Verizon Ellipsis Jetpack Mobile Hotspots. Verizon is recalling about 2.1 million Ellipsis Jetpack Mobile Hotspots because a lithium-ion battery in the hotspot can overheat, posing a fire and burn hazard. The hotspots were sold at Verizon stores and other stores and on to school districts nationwide and online at Verizon.com from April 17th through March 2021 for $50 to $150. What you can do? You can reduce the risk of hazard by powering the unit off, unplugging it from its power source, and storing it in a place away from children, on top of a hard surface with attic and ventilation around the unit and away from combustibles, until it can be returned to Verizon. For more details and instructions on how to use the product safely and return it, go to Verizon and check on recall at the bottom of the page. That's Verizon.com. Greenworks and PowerWorks Pressure Washer Spray Guns. Hong Kong Sunrise Trading is recalling about 1.6 million Greenworks and PowerWorks Pressure Washer Spray Guns because the spray gun connector can break, causing the hose and or parts of the connector to become dislodged during use and posing an impact injury hazard. The spray guns were sold at Lowe's stores and online at Lowe's.com, Amazon, and other online retailers from January 2017 through February 2021. The plastic gun accessory kit was sold for about $40, and the pressure washers were sold for $100 to $180. What to do? Stop using the spray gun. Contact Hong Kong Sunrise Trading at 833-211-9185 or go to greenworkstools.com for details and to get a free replacement of the spray gun handle. B-Toys Firefly Flank Infant Teethers. Batat is recalling about 61,000 B-Toys Firefly Flank Infant Teethers because the plastic wings can detach from the teether, posing a choking hazard to young children. The teethers were sold at Target stores and website from July 2019 through February 2021 for $6 to $10. You take the teether away from young children, return it to any Target store for a full refund, or contact Batat at 844-963-2479 or go to batatco.com for details on how to return it by mail for a full refund. Cat and Jack Baby Rompers. Target's having a tough time here. Target is recalling about 44,350 Cat and Jack Baby Heart Ears rompers because the heart-shaped graphics on the knees can peel off or detach and pose a choking hazard to children. The rompers were sold in Target stores and online from November 2020 through February 2021 for about $13. What to do? Take the romper away from children and return it to any Target store for a full refund. If you bought the romper on Target.com, contact Target at 800-440-0680 or go to Target.com for details and to get a prepaid shipping label to return the romper. Polaris ROVs. Ooh, that's a big thing. Polaris is recalling about 41,500 Ranger 1000, Ranger Crew 1000, Pro XD 2000G, and 4000G, Ariens Gravely JSV 3200, and Bobcat UV-34 4x4 gas and UV-34 XL gas ROVs because the drive kelt can break during operation and damage the inner clutch cover assembly and fuel line, which can result in a fuel leak posing a fire hazard. The ROVs were sold at Bobcat dealers from September 2018 through December 2020 for $13,000 to $18,500. What to do? Stop using the vehicle. Contact a Polaris or an Ariens or a Bobcat dealer for details and to schedule a free inspection and repair if needed. Polaris, Ariens, and Bobcat are notifying all dealers and contacting registered owners directly when possible. And then we have a product update. Latest ratings from CR's Labs. The top four things Americans look for when shopping for sunscreen. 57% for water resistance. 40% for a broad spectrum. And 19% that it doesn't contain chemicals, e.g. abrazone and oxybenzol, and natural or mineral on label, 18%. And then there's a picture of a whole bunch of different kinds in here. Easy ways to protect your skin in summer. Alba Botanica Hawaiian Coconut Clear Spray, Hawaiian Tropic Island Sport Spray, Equate, that's from Walmart, Sport Lotion, Repel Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent, Ben's Tick Insect and Repellent Wipes, and Sawyer's Premium Insect Repellent Pump. Hiking, camping, watching a baseball game, chances are your perfect summer and day involves spending time outside. Just don't forget to bring on a sunscreen and insect repellent. Sunburns and insect bites are more than just short-term discomforts. Exposure to the sun's ultraviolet UV rays can cause wrinkles and skin cancer, and mosquitoes and ticks can transport serious diseases such as West Nile virus and Lyme. But CR's test of 47 sunscreens and 45 insect repellents have found effective options to keep you safe outside. Rethink naturals. Many people return to natural sunscreens and insect repellents because they're concerned about harmful effective chemicals such as avobenzone and oxybenzone in sunscreens and DEET in insect repellents. But the products made with chemical ingredients as opposed to mineral sunscreens and insect repellents made with essential oils have been found to offer the best protection years after year in CR's test. For sunscreen, all of our top-rated sunscreens have chemical active ingredients. While it's true that these chemicals have been shown to absorb through the skin into the bloodstreams, experts at the Food and Drug Administration, which oversees sunscreens, have pointed out that the fact that the substance is absorbed doesn't automatically make it unsafe, and CR's expert and others still recommend using those sunscreens. Chemical UV filters are highly effective ingredients and have been used safely for years, says Joshua Seichner, MD, an associate professor of dermatology at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York City. Some people may want to avoid oxybenzone and octinoxate. These chemical active ingredients may possibly harm oceans, and some evidence suggests that oxybenzone may interfere with hormones in the body. We note which products include these ingredients in their rating chart, which we'll look at. the alternative mineral-based sunscreens, those with only titanium dioxide, zinc oxide, or both as active ingredients, for the most part have received scores of fair or poor in the overall protection against UV skin damage in our testing. If you choose to use a mineral sunscreen, California Kid Super Sensitive Tinted Lotion SPF 30 or Badge of Actor Natural Mineral Cream SPF 30 Unscented are your best bets. For insect repellent, DEET-containing products consistently top our ratings. DEET has been around for a long time and has a very good safety process, as David Brown, technical advisor to the American Mosquito Control Association. If you would still rather not use it, choose a product with oil of lemon eucalyptus, such as Repel Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent 2 Pump, or Picaridin, such as Sawyer Premium Insect Repellent Pump, that did well in our rating. Skip the ones made with essential oils. Be smart about sprays. Never spray in an enclosed area or near food, and stay away from open flames like a grill because aerosol sprays can be flammable. Avoid getting the spray in your mouth, nose, or eyes, and never spray directly into your face. For children, it's best to spray the product onto your hands, then rub it in. At the very least, have them close their mouth and eyes and turn their head. For sunscreen, sprays are great for hard-to-reach spots, such as the scalp, back of the neck and shoulders, and tops of the feet. In general, more is better. Spray until the sun glistens, Zeichner says, then rub in evenly. For insect repellent, a light spritzing from 68 inches away is enough. Dress for success. Clothing can also help protect you against UV rays and biting bugs. Do this with sunscreen. Cover up with clothing and a broad-brimmed hat. Do this with insect repellent. Wear long-sleeve shirts and pants. Light colors make it easier to spot ticks. When you're in a wood or a grassy area, tuck your shirt into your pants and your pants into your pocket socks to help keep ticks from reaching your skin. How to apply your protection right. Even the best sunscreens and insect repellents can't do their job if you don't use them properly. Pro tip, sunscreen goes on first. Let it be absorbed, then apply the insect repellent. Apply sunscreen liberally 15 to 30 minutes before you go outside so it has a chance to work. Use about an ounce of lotion or shot glass full to cover your body in a bathing suit or aim for about a teaspoon for each exposed body part. Reapply sunscreen every 2 hours you're in the sun and immediately after swimming or if you're sweating heavily. Apply insect repellent to skin or clothing as directed on the product label. Don't douse yourself in the stuff. A thin film only on exposed skin is sufficient. Heavier doses don't offer greater protection. Be sun savvy. We only tested broad-spectrum sunscreens labeled SPF 30 or higher. Unless otherwise noted, all are said to be water-resistant for up to 80 minutes. Lotions with chemical active ingredients. This is ranking, and I'll read them as they rank and how much they cost. Equate from Walmart Sport Lotion SP 50, $4. Kyle's Activated Sun Protection Lotion SP 30, $32. But that's $6.40 an ounce versus 50 cents an ounce for Equate. Neutrogena Ultra Sheer Flesh Lotion SPF 70, $13. Neutrogena Sport Face Oil Free Lotion SPF 70, $12. Coppertone Limited Edition Ultra Guard Lotion SPF 30, $11. Banana Boat Ultra Spot Lotion SPS 50, $7. Hawaiian Tropic Silk Hydration, $9. Panama Jack Sunscreen Lotion SPS 50, $11. Alba Botanica Sport Lotion 45 SPF, $12. Sunbum Squinseed Lotion SPF 30, $10. Neutrogena Hydro Boost Water Gel Lotion SPF 30 for $12. La Roche-Posay Anthelios Clear Skin Face Lotion SPF 60, $20, but it got a really poor rating. Skin Criticals, in fact, these last four really got poor ratings. Sense Critical Sports UV Defense Lotion, $40, cost $13 an ounce. Walgreens Sport Lotion SP 50 for $3. Baby Organic Sunscreen Lotion SP 50 for $12. And the La Roche-Posay at the Skin Chemicals at $13 per ounce got only one good rating. Everything else was hard down, and the variation from SPF that they claim was actually an extremely hard down. Sprays with chemical active ingredients. Hawaiian Tropic Island Sport Spray SPF 30 for $9, and Alba Botanica Hawaiian Coconut Spray Coconut Clear Spray SPS 50 for $11, La Roche-Posay Athelios Lotion Spray for $25, Banana Boat Ultra Sport Spray SPF 100 for $9, Hawaiian Tropic antioxidant mist for $9, and all the rest got very poor ratings. Lotions and sprays with mineral active ingredients. California Kids Super Sensitive Tinted Lotion, SPF 30. None of these got high ratings. By the way, none of these last, these lotions with sprays and medical. Badger Active National Mineral Cream. Alba Botanica Sports Mineral Lotion. Aveeno Positive Mineral Sensitive Skin Lotion. And Neutrogena Pure and Free Body Lotion. None of them got even decent ratings. Broad Spectrum Sunscreens label 50 LB SPF 30 or higher. And none of these got good ratings either. I mean, we're talking ratings in the 30s and lower. Goddess Garden Organics Daily Mineral Lotion for $18. Kiss My Face Organics Face and Body Mineral Lotion for $17. Think Sports Space Lotion for $24. Banana Boat Baby Mineral Lotion for $8. Alba Botanica Kids Mineral Lotion for $12. And Bug Out. These ratings for insect repellents are based primarily on how long each protects against mosquito bites. But past tests show that the ones that thwart mosquitoes also work very well against ticks. And this is the ones with DEET in them. And the ratings on these things are extremely high for the first half a dozen. And then they drop off, but not a great amount. Ben's Tick and Insect Repellent Wipes, 30%. They got a 96. Ben's Tick and Insect Repellent Wilderness Formula Pump got a 95. Total CVS Woodland Scent Insect Repellent Aerosol got a 94. Ultrathon Insect Repellent Aerosol got a 94 as well. Off Sportsman's Deepwood Insect Repellent got a 93. Ben's Tick and Insect Repellent Wilderness Formula Aerosol got an 88. Cutter Backwood Insect Repellent Pump got an 88. Coleman Insect Repellent Ultra Dry Formula got an 86. And Off Deep Woods Insect Repellent 8 Dry Aerosol got an 86. As did Solar Ultra 30 Insect Repellent Lotion. Repel, Cutter, and Repel Insect Repellents all got in the 70s. And then we have DEET continued. Cutter Backwoods, Repel, and Off Deep Woods were in the 60s. Sawyer, Cutter, All Family Mosquito Wipes are only in the 50s. The ones with picaridin have Sawyer Premium Insect Repellent got an 83. Off Family Care Insect Repellent and Natropil Insect and Tick Repellent got 70s and 69. Oil of Lemon Eucalyptus, also called PMD. Repel Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent Pump got a 90. Cutter Human Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent Aerosol got a 82. Naturepil Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent Pump got a 72. And Naturepil Lemon Eucalyptus Insect Repellent Aerosol got a 69. The two Coleman's and an Off and a Cutter all got in the low 30s. Other, Coleman's Skin Spark Insect Repellent got a 58. And then we get the horrible ones. Baby Ganix Insect Repellent, All Terrain Herbal Armor, All Terrain Kids Herbal Armor, Buzz Away, EcoSmart, California Baby, and Alobella all got single digit ratings. And in other words, they weren't any good at all. Because we've entered hurricane season now, let's take a review on Stay Safe in Any Storm. And there's a picture of a bunch of houses with a huge black clouds coming up in the back. Simple ways you can prepare now and take action in a moment for a tornado, a hurricane, a wildfire, an earthquake, and more. At 7:02 p.m. July 8, 2014, a tornado with winds gusting to 135 miles per hour ambushed the town of Smithfield. The storm left four dead, including one infant, and a community stunned. Smithfield, you see, isn't in Tornado Alley or even in the Great Plains. It's in central New York State. We don't get tornadoes in New York, right? Anyone will tell you that, Governor Amy Cuomo told reporters the next day. Well, guess what? We do now. Natural disasters are always traumatic, but climate change, abetted by our own activity, is making the unexpected and extreme ever more likely. Catastrophic floods happen more often. Three, for instance, hit the St. Louis region between 2015 and 2019. Wildfires have burned an average of 7 million acres per year since 2000, more than double the rate set in the 1990s. In February, record cold in Texas set off a cascading crisis of electrical outages, burst pipes, and flooded homes. It's not like we're seeing new types of disasters, but we're seeing them in places we're not used to, with more intensity, says Steph Schlegel-Milk, director of the National Center for Disaster Preparedness at Columbia University's Earth Institute. It's the same concerns amped up. The good news? If calamity touches your family or home, a little preparation can make a huge difference, potentially saving money, treasured possessions, and even lives. So we ask a few dozen experts and survivors for advice on building disaster resilience. As it happens, most of their tips call for a modest investment of money or time. You don't have to be a doomsday prepper, says Brenda Muhammad, who teaches readiness skills in Syracuse, New York, but be your own first responder. 48% of Americans have made an emergency plan, $400. More than a third of Americans said they couldn't cover an emergency expense of this size with cash savings or even a credit card if they have to pay off the balance right away. Hurricanes and severe storms. Homeowners in hurricane-susceptible areas, such as us, such as those along the East and Gulf Coast, consider retrofits like hurricane shutters tailored to local conditions. But wherever you live, you can do plenty to limit the impact of extreme weather. Prepare now. Keep up the upkeep. Remove dead tree trunks and limbs. Check your roof for decay once a year. Use binoculars to avoid the risk of ladders and hire a roofer if needed. Clean, fix, and secure your gutters and leaders. Get your deck inspected every spring. Get a weather radio. The devices, $25 to $100 or more, provide severe weather alerts from the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration. Look for one with a NOAA Hell Hazards logo. These meet voluntary industry standards and have undergone NOAA usability and performance testing, come with a backup battery, and even a tone alert feature which keeps the radio silent until there's a weather alert, or specific area message encoding which lets you limit alerts to particular regions. Consider a generator. In our ratings on page 49, prices for recommended models run from $550 for a small portable unit capable of powering a large space heater and a charging cell phones for more than $4,000 for a permanently installed machine that can power an entire house. With portables, look for safety technology, which turns off the unit when it detects elevated carbon monoxide. Retrofit right. Buy code-conforming hurricane shutters, impact-resistant windows, and wind-rated garage doors if you live in a wind zone. The cost to buy and install shutters on 10 windows is about $2,350. A garage door in Florida is $1,200 to $3,000, according to estimates from the Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety, an organization that tests building materials. Add metal hurricane clips to strengthen junctions and exposed roof rafters. They can be installed for about $10 each. When replacing a roof, use shingles that do well in our tests for wind resistance. You can also use a specialized building methods and materials that meets the IBHS Fortified Roof Standard. Learn how to stack sandbags. 1. Fill the bags 1/2 to 2/3 full. Loading them is easier with two people. Lay bags lengthwise, covering the unfilled part of each bag with the next one, tucking the flap under at the end of a row. For more rows, stagger the seams like brickwork. Lighter sandless bags expand when wet and stack the same way. Prices vary. An online six-pack starts around $33, plus the sand. $26,807. Estimated cost of a 1-inch flood in a 2,500-square-foot one-story home. Alabama is the state with the most tornado deaths, 34 between 2015 and 2020. Have multiple modes of communication. Enter key contacts into all phones. Give household members paper contact lists, too. Tap someone outside your area to be an emergency communication hub. When power is out, backup battery for a voice-over internet protocol, VOIP line, can extend its run time and allow for emergency calls. Copper landlines generally work in an outage. In a crisis, texts are more likely to connect than calls because they use far less bandwidth. Turn on one device at a time to conserve power. Access community resources, a ham radio if available, is another good resource, experts say. Hone your family's emergency plan. Store go bags and emergency kits where they're easy to grab. Save directions to local shelters. Check rules for social distancing and pets. Run drills at least annually, entering a safe room, evacuating, packing the car, and meeting outside the home when separated. Scout at least two alternative easy-to-reach places. With kids, turn drills into games. Reward pets with treats. And they have a picture here of a phone with a crank. I actually have, or not a phone, but a radio. I actually have one of those where you crank it up to get it to charge so that you can have your radio on without having to worry about batteries. Plan for flooding. Floods can happen anywhere, the National Flood Insurance Program, NFIP, says. In higher-risk areas, you can landscape and upgrade your home for more protection. Check your property's flood risk at mscfema.gov. Buy flood insurance. The median annual cost for homeowners in a high-risk area is $797. It's $516 in other areas. For renters in high-risk areas, it's $298 for belongings only. Elsewhere, it's $216. Learn more at floodsmart.gov. Focus on the foundation. Fill hairline cracks and small holes with vinyl concrete patching compound or cement. For larger openings, use polyurethane, silicone, or latex concrete caulk or call in a pro. The average cost of waterproofing an entire basement is $600 to $11,500, according to Home Advisor, considering a sump pump with a backup battery. Prices range from $275 to $3,900. A rain garden, for example, is a depressed area where water can pool after heavy rain and be absorbed slowly into the earth. It can be planted with deep-rooted native species for natural flood prevention. MacGyvering pays off. We shut down the water main so the pipes wouldn't freeze and kept the faucets on. I started collecting drips in empty bottles. In 24 hours, we feed 8 to 10 gallons. It bet Beltran Southwell, Louisville, Texas, after the February 2021 winter apocalypse. Water wisdom. Focus first on stocking this necessity. You can live far longer without food than without water. Store enough. You need at least 1 gallon per person per day for at least 3 days, but ideally have enough for 2 weeks. Ensure that it's safe. Buy sealed, pre-filled jugs or sanitize and fill food-grade jugs. Keep containers cool, 50 to 73 degrees Fahrenheit, out of sunlight and away from toxic substances such as pesticides and gasoline that can permeate the plastic. Replace the water every 6 months. Use the old water for non-drinking purposes such as washing your car. Consider lightweight water sacks for your go bag, $42 for 104-ounce packages at redcross.org. And it lasts up to 5 years, says preparedness expert David Ofwana. Find storage space. If it's limited, get creative, says Brenda Muhammad, executive director of Our Focus, Our Resources for Community Enlightenment, a Syracuse, New York not-for-profit that teaches emergency skills. Put water containers under your bed or put a plank and cloth on a few of them to create an ottoman, she suggests. Look for stackable products. We found stackable 5-gallon food grade approved by the Food and Drug Administration bottles for around $13 apiece in an online emergency supplier. Before a storm, fill your bathtub. Use this water for flushing and washing, not drinkings. Or buy a capped plastic bladder that can hold drinkable water in your tub. Understand emergency advisors. A boil water advisory from health officials means you can drink tap water that has been boiled for at least 1 minute, 3 minutes at elevation above 6,500 feet, with a do-not-drink advisory, even boiling might not make tap water safe, so use only stored potable water for drinking, cooking, and brushing your teeth. There are 1,226 average yearly tornadoes in the U.S. from 1900 to 2019, the most of any other country in the world. 40% of all flood losses paid by the National Flood Insurance Program from 2015 to 2019 were for properties outside of the high flood risk areas. 53,563 were the number of wildfires caused by humans in 2020. The number caused by lightning was 5,387. 1 gallon per day for 3 days, minimum amount of water needed for each household member when sheltering in place. Ideally, have enough for 2 weeks. Build to resist floods. If you're in a high-risk flood area, consider, among other measures, building a levee or flood wall or even elevating your house. Raising a home foundation above flood plain, for instance, typically costs anywhere from $3,000 to $9,000. Take action before tornadoes. Travelers and residents in the southeast and central plains, where most serious tornadoes happen, should take the same-day precautions. Map out a shelter. Save the address in a map app. If your manufactured structure, such as a mobile home, rush elsewhere, a safe room, shelter, or sturdy building immediately after receiving an emergency alert, FEMA advises. Designate a safe space. Ideally, choose an interior room, one that has no windows, that's on the lowest level of your home. A closet will work. Practice entering the rooms with your entire household, including your pets. Keep the space generally clear. One person told me after tornado, the closet where we normally would go was full of stuff because we'd just been to Super Saver, recalls Daphne Ledoux, University of Oklahoma researcher who studies households' behavior during tornadoes. Build or add a safe room. An 8x8x8 foot room in a new construction costs between $9,400 and $13,000, FEMA says. Online, we found prefabricated units starting around $4,000 without installation. Make sure the door assembly has a label that says, The door meets International Code Council Standards, ICC 5000, indicating it can withstand a tornado wind speed of 250 miles per hour. Ready for a coming storm? Start outside. Store outdoor furniture. Put vehicles in a garage. Shut windows and doors. They used to say crack the windows to equalize the pressure, says Ann Cope, IBHS MPF engineer, but shutting everything limits the extent to which Mother Nature can rampage through your house. Set up a smartphone alerts. Government alerts are default on iPhones. On Androids OS 10 and higher, make sure they're on by going to Settings, Apps, and Notifications, Advanced Wireless Emergency Alerts. Don't put your phone on silent or night mode. Keep location settings on. Move valuables to higher floors. Standard homeowners insurance won't cover storm flooding damage. NFIP flood coverage pays for up to $2,500 for loss of certain valuables. Power moves. Have flashlight and extra batteries on hand. The lights go out. Take these steps. Unplug everything. When power returns, a surge can damage connected machinery. Make a plan for meals. In an unpowered but closed fridge, food typically stays safe at a temperature of 40 degrees or below for about 4 hours. Cook raw meat and perishables within that time. Food is safe for 2 or more hours above 40 degrees Fahrenheit, or 1 hour if the outside temperature is above 90 degrees, says Sanya Mohad, manager of food safety research and testing at CR. A full freezer stays cold for about 48 hours. A half-full freezer, half that. Food in a cooler is good if it remains below 40 degrees Fahrenheit. Use an appliance thermometer, about $6 online, to check. When it's hot, hydrate and seek air conditioning. Drink extra water, and don't wait until you're thirsty, the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention says. When it's cold, conserve heat. Keep everyone in one room. One with a south-facing window will be warmest. Layer clothing. Use only a portable propane heater designed for indoor use. Follow ventilation instructions carefully. Wildfires. Anyone who lives in a drought-prone area is vulnerable. Even city dwellers may need to prepare themselves from smoke. Prepare now. Landscape with fire in mind. Use stone walls and gravel as fire breaks. Consider shrubs such as sumac and cotton Easter plants, like coreopsis and French lavender, which are fire-resistant, says the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. Rethink building materials. Consider non-combustible siding materials such as fiber cement, brick veneer, and stucco. The Insurance Institute for Business and Home Safety recommends. When re-roofing, make sure the shingles are labeled Class A, the highest fire-resistant rating by UL. Fire often spreads from home to home via fences and decks, the IBHS says. So if you have a wood or vinyl fence, replace that section next to your house, at least 5 feet, with metal. For decks, opt for metal joist substructure. Clear away combustibles. Move flammable materials at least 5 feet from your home, decks, and overhangs. Move wood piles at least 30 feet away. Avoid outdoor furniture that can easily catch fire, such as wicker or hardwood seating. Keep the yard clean. Regularly remove falling leaves, dead plants, and pine needles in gutters, under decking, and within 30 feet of your home. That's happened here recently in Raleigh. There was a bunch of pine straw next to an apartment. It caught fire and burned the apartments down. Trim tree branches at least 10 feet from your chimney and other trees, and remove branches over your roof. Use stone or gravel mulches, not organic ones. Keep your grass cut no higher than 4 inches. Buy an effective air purifier. Check CR's August 2021 issue, which will include updated air purifier ratings, and we'll do that next month. Practice packing and fleeing. Give yourself 30 minutes to leave, says David Ofonano, director of First on Compliance and Emergency Preparedness Consulting Company based in California. Sometimes a wildfire moves so fast, that's all the time people have. Have face masks on hands, ideally N95, and have an evacuation plan. If time permits, close and lock windows and doors. Build a go-bag. Contents include water and non-perishable nutritious food, phone charger, flashlight and radio, battery or hand crank, change of clothes, sturdy shoes, personal items, IDs, personal documents, key contacts, maps, cash, and small bills, first aid kit and meds, duct tape. For more info, including a complete supply list for sheltering in place, go to ready.gov/kit. Know your escape routes, your options in advance. You don't have to figure out that 2 in the morning as all hell is raining down on you. And never let your gas tank go below half a tank. Madam Lojewowski, Redwood Valley, California, on fleeing the 2017 North Bay Fire. Earthquakes. West Coast residents are most likely to be affected by a damaging quake, though less severe earthquakes are increasingly common elsewhere. And if you'll be traveling in a quake-prone area, it's wise to be ready. Set up an extra warning. Make sure your smartphone's wireless emergency alerts are on. If you're in California or Oregon, download one of the free MyShake or Quake Alert USA apps, which are designed to deliver alerts seconds before humans feel the ground shake, giving you extra time to shelter. They're available on Android phones and iPhones. Secure your stuff. Heavy or tall objects should be attached to walls with specialized fasteners. Water heater, which can pose fire hazards or land on people, pets, and other items dislodged, need particular attention. Install latches on cabinet doors to prevent them from flying open, and place rubberized shelf mats between and under dishes to protect them during tremors. Investigate earthquake insurance. Earthquakes are not covered by most conventional homeowners policies. In California, check earthquakeauthority.com. In the moment, drop, cover, and hold on. Get under a sturdy table or bed to avoid falling objects. Hold the legs to help you stay underneath. Don't run outside. Don't stand in the doorway. It puts you at risk of injury from falling or flying objects. In bed, cover your head and neck with a pillow. If you're outdoors, avoid buildings. In a car, pull over and set your parking brake. Connect with your community. Talk to neighbors about resources such as firewood and tools that can easily be shared or swapped. Find out who can perform CPR and first aid or get trained online or in person, redcross.org/take-a-class. Get involved with a community emergency response team of residents trained to prepare, aid, and equip neighbors to deal with emergencies. And also remember to shut off your utilities. Label your electrical box and water and gas shutoff valves. Practice shutting off water, replace defective parts. Consult your utility on gas cutoffs. Guidance and equipment may vary. Always have a pro turn the gas back on. If you have time, unplug appliances and shut off water and electricity. Individual breakers first, then the main circuit. Smell gas? Leave immediately. Call 911 or the utility. Alaska is the state that had the most earthquakes, 9,020 between 2010 and 2015. Second most, oddly enough, was Oklahoma with 1,714. Per owner spending for disaster repair in Houston in 2019 was $2,300. In Dallas and Miami, it was $600 compared with $300 in the rest of the country. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next time, and thank you so much for listening.